What's this can of beans?
Oh, can of beans theory?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're so used to today of just going to a store, and you go to pick up your favorite can of beans, and it's not there. And you talk to someone, and they say, no problem, it'll be here tomorrow. And you go back in, and your beans are there.
That's right.
Now, after the flu hits, you have to understand that to get a can of beans, you need a farmer to plant the beans and pick them. And then he needs petroleum gas that's maybe brought from Saudi Arabia and then processed into gasoline so he can drive his tractor. Then gas has to be used by the truck to take it to the factory. The factory has to have ingredients shipped to them. Then you need workers. You need paper cases. People have to go out and cut trees down to make paper. People have to make paste and glue. And then you have a delivery system and an ordering system. And you have to have people that will stock the beans. So right off the bat there, when you pick that can of beans up, there's 8,000 to 10,000 people involved in that can of beans. And you have to have a job, too, to be able to pay for it. With the flu hitting, a lot of those people aren't going to be around anymore. So that can of beans may not be in your store again.
And from the time there was a serious outbreak of this bird flu, how quickly would we be looking at the kind of disastrous infrastructure meltdown you're talking about here?
Well, the loss of electrical power would be in the first week or two, and then that would just start the meltdown because...
week or two?
A week or two, once the pandemic hits us. For New York City, 4 days without power, the entire subway system is flooded. They pump 30 million gallons of water out of the subway system a day to keep it dry. And 4 days, the subway system is flooded. 4 days without electrical power in New York, it'll take them a year to put the fires out. And
what do you say to people who say, look, this book, the whole bird flu thing, it's scaremongering, it's just not real?
Well, it's the worst case scenario. The thing of it is that we have to be prepared for it because it has happened before. In my book, I mentioned that 75,000 years ago, a volcano blew up in Indonesia, and the population of the humans on this planet dropped down to just a few thousand because of about a five-year winter.
Right.
And so it's happened before, and it's going to happen again. And so being prepared for this is what you should be doing. And you look at Katrina, and the problem was that no one was prepared for what was going to come.
And nobody's really prepared for this. I mean, how do you prepare for this?
Well, I've taught survival classes, and people go like, what will I need to survive? And the question's very easy. You're sitting in your house. You have no heat. You have no electricity. What are you going to need to survive?
Well, heat, electricity, all the things you don't have, food.
Yeah, you have no food, electricity. How are you going to survive? Well, you're going to have a food store. You have to have a way of cooking the food and preparing it. You have to have take one small room and get all the blankets and everything in there to make it a sleeping and maybe even a living type area so that you can keep it warm. You have to have battery operated flashlights. A lot of people today have those little, solar-powered lights in their yards.
Yes.
I've played with those, and I can recharge 4 to 6 AA batteries in a 1 day of sunshine.
Oh, sure.
Because they got AA's in them. So I'm basing my electrical power on AA battery lights because I can recharge them without any problems. Mm. And so you need light, you need heat, you need food. You need some sort of a defense system.
Well, I was about to say, you said earlier that, if you're the one with the solar power, you're the one with the stock of food, somebody's going to come and take it away from you or try to.
Well, that's why you have to be a black hole in the night, okay? In other words, you're there, but no one can see you. I mean, you got the windows covered up and things so that no light gets out there, so it looks like you're not even home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, is that you just have to hide. I remember one time here we were talking about a flood happening, and we were talking to a couple of our friends that were Mormons, and they said, well, we have all the food. And my friend who was the other doctor here in town said, yeah, but we got all the guns. And they went, yeah, we know that. That seems to be a problem. So
you personally, doctor, would you protect yourself with, you know, lethal weapons?
If it got down to it, if it was to save my family, I would be forced. Yes, I would do it. Our problem is that we have so many people in this country that have never even shot a BB gun in their life. My sons went through scouts. They can throw a tomahawk, a knife, shoot bow and arrow, black powder rifles, sleep up in the mountains when it's 20 below zero. But unfortunately, most of the U.S. population has no experience like that.